everybody makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. It has saved our fathers, it has saved our father, it has saved our fathers. It's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for the prophet Daniel, it was good for the prophet Daniel, it was good for the prophet Daniel. It's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for the Hebrew children, it was good for the Hebrew children, it was good for the Hebrew children. It's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was tried in the fiery furnace, it was tried in the fiery furnace, it was tried in the fiery furnace. It's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas, it was good for Paul and Silas, it was good for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when I'm dying, it will do when I'm dying, it will do when I'm dying. It's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. And the best one's this one. It can take us all to heaven, it can take us all to heaven, it can take us all to heaven. It's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. 154. 154. If you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough to reach the sky above. Could know everything there was to know about life's game, yet you know nothing until you know God and His love. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. If in your life you could meet everybody and you could call you've not come face to face with Jesus and his saving grace, then you've known no one until you've known God and his love. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God.
Thank you, Brother Mike, Sister Mary Lou, playing the piano and leading song service tonight. We're looking forward to this revival, looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us. And as we tried to say this morning, we pray that you might find your place in the service, that you might find what God would have for you this week, and that what we might be obedient and follow the will of God. And we're prayerful that the Lord will show up and be in the midst of our services. And we need the Lord, and we need His presence here. Praying to see, as we made mention this morning, about having a desire. And I asked the question, are you hungry? And I get hungry. I get a desire to want to see lost people saved. And I believe God's people need to desire that. I believe we need to be hungry for it. And so this week, I pray that we have that burden and that hunger upon our hearts this week, that we might come and spend some time with the Lord. And we look forward to that. As I made mention earlier this morning, in regards to Brother Luke, I believe he intends to be here tomorrow night. But do pray for them as they continue their services there at Caney Fork. And his father, Brother Ron, is helping. I do pray for him. As far as I had heard today, they've had some really good meetings, but they hadn't heard of anyone being saved. But the Lord can change all that tonight. So I do pray for that. I know at one time he had one daughter that was still seeking, and I know that still lays heavy upon his heart. So let's continue to remember her in our prayers. Also, the way I understand, I believe there's a young man tonight at Mount Lebanon that's standing and preaching his first sermon. I know a lot of the Do-Re-Mi young people. There's a lot of our, and I'm thankful for that, a lot of the young people from Do-Re-Mi get together, and a lot of them are there tonight at Mount Lebanon. So let's be prayerful for that. Be prayerful for this young man as he stands and preaches his first sermon, that the Lord will help him, and maybe some of his friends, some of those that are there, will hear something he has to say, and the Lord will do a work in their life. Might ask you tonight if there's a thought or request upon your heart before we try to go to the Lord in prayer.
Brother Cole, I'd like to give a report. I talked to Brother Larry Hardcastle this evening, and he sounds completely different. You know, when I went up and saw him yesterday, Brother Neil was talking about the food, he was so weak in his voice, and just real weak. He sounds completely different. Heart gone out of AFib, his medication, whatever they treat him with. His heart is gone to the normal beat right now.
Wonderful.
And he's doing real good. He sounded real good. And don't know if they're going to send him home tomorrow or not. They was going to keep him overnight. Still to watch him. Be sure things didn't happen. But he said he's really feeling good. He's starting to get his strength back. And he just wanted to thank the church for all the prayers that's gone up for him. He said he feels it.
Yeah.
Much better.
Bless you, Brother Buddy. Appreciate this report tonight. Glad to hear that the Lord is answering some prayers on behalf of Brother Larry. Do continue to pray for him. Might ask you as well to remember my stepfather in prayer. He was in a motorcycle accident yesterday. And he's at home. He's pretty beat up, pretty bad. And do pray for him. He's never been a church-going man, and uh, praying the Lord might wake him up. So don't know what the Lord has in store, but do pray for him. And also remember Jessica's family. She lost a great aunt this week, and just remember them in your prayers as well. Something else upon your heart. Yes. Amen. Bless you, Sister LaVon. Let's remember this tonight. Do remember Brother Moran as he goes tomorrow and has this done. So let's pray for him. Something else. Sister Kim, let's remember these requests. Something else. Yeah. Yeah. Bless you, sister. Yeah. Bless you, Horn. Appreciate this. Thankful you's willing to testify on behalf of the Lord. Something else? Anything? All right. If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Philip Dickens, would you lead us in a word?
I was dreaming in that sea.
here. When I was dreaming,
thank you.
might give me the liberty just for a minute to maybe calm my nerves. I made mention this morning, always look forward to revival time. Looking forward to it this week. Pray that we all, as I said before, would find our place. And I look forward to being able to say that it's been good to be here. And just praying that the Lord will show up on the scene. As I was pondering and meditating on some different things the last couple of weeks, continue to have a thought that stuck with me, and I don't know how lengthy I'll be tonight, and I don't rightly know who this message is directed to. But as I was pondering and meditating this afternoon, the thought still seemed to be with me, so I want to try to stand and try to preach. And as I was thinking about that song, "For the God on the Mountain is still the God in the Valley," all I can be is just a mouthpiece, and that's all I want to be. I pray that when I stand behind the book board, and it is a sacred book board, that Jesus, the Lord, would take me and that He would hide me in the shadow of the cross. I want you to see the Lord. I want you to see past me. Jesus said, "He that hath ear to hear, let him hear." Not only that the information might go into their ear, but that it might sink into their heart. And I believe that. I believe a man has to, or a person has to hear the word, and their mind processes what it's being told, and it pricks the heart. It has its effect. But tonight, I'm going to try to do like I've always done. I'm going to try to stand and trust in the Lord tonight. I need His help. My thought tonight is, is nothing lasts forever, or does it? Nothing lasts forever, or does it? And I guess that might seem a little odd, but I want you to listen tonight. You might be the youngest one here, and I realize tonight that I'm a pretty simple-minded preacher, let alone I'm pretty simple-minded. But there's a couple of reasons behind that. I've always wanted to preach, and the Lord helped me that the youngest person here might understand what I'm trying to say. I want them to hear. So young person, I ask you tonight that you might listen and you might pay attention to what the Word of God says. If the Lord deals with you throughout this service or throughout this week, I want you to know this altar is open. I want you to feel that you feel the need to pray. We want you to know that you just make a move towards God. As I've heard Brother Steve say before, several times he's made the comment, instead of running from God, run to God. Well, I want you to run to the Lord tonight. And so my thought being, nothing lasts forever, or does it? Begin to think about some of these things, and it seems like, and maybe y'all are different than me, but it seems like when something tears up, it seems to be that it comes in threes. It seems like if something around the house tears up, or I have automobile trouble, or something along that line, it seems very evident that it comes in threes. It all the time, just this last couple of weeks ago, it seemed about the time that I was to get into cutting hay, my truck broke down. I mean, just as soon as I was headed to go get the hay trailer, my truck tore up. Then it wasn't long after that, I was trying to get my roller worked on. And it seemed like every time I turned around, something was happening. And I began to think, things aren't made as good as they used to be. You ever heard that? I grew up hearing that my whole life. People would say, you know, stuff just isn't made like it used to be made. You look at appliances and things in the modern home today. They don't last very long. Used to be, when something said made in America, that meant something. It used to be when something was made in the United States of America, that had meaning to it. You know, that was Craftsman's big selling point, made in America. Automobiles and everything used to be made in America, and now we outsource all that stuff. And the reason behind a lot of that is it's cheap manufacturing, it's easy to acquire, and when it tears up, it's cheap enough to replace again. But I still am kind of one of them type of people. I like good quality things. I want something that's going to last. The roller that I roll with, a lot of people, I'll get into my thought just here in a minute. Bear with me. I've been pondering on this a couple of weeks. The roller I roll with, I bought from Brother Mike Jackson. It's an early 90s model roller. Now, a lot of people would say, you just need to go buy a new roller. But I want you to know, when you get the roller started, it'll roll all day long. And it'll roll one of the prettiest rolls you've ever seen. Why is that? Well, it's still built good. It's not necessarily because the name on it, but because it's built well. It's steel. It's made to last. Yeah, you might have to do some maintenance along the way, but it's built to last. And that's the problem with a lot of the world today. They're looking for things with a short-term fix. They just want something that'll get them by, you know, for a short term. But I like things that endure. I like things that's going to last. So the reason behind what I was saying is there's a lot of people, and I've heard it all my life, they'll say, well, does anything really last forever? And, you know, people say, well, nothing really lasts, but does it? And my question to that is tonight is yes. There's something that lasts forever.
Amen.
I want to tell you a little bit about it. If you would, I want to take some text tonight from the 10th chapter of John. And I'll be going over to Ephesians. 10th chapter of John. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the security of the believer. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about what eternity is. Eternity is a long time. When you look it up in what Webster says, it has no beginning and it has no end. A lot of times I can fathom in my mind, I like history. I always excelled in school in history. I love history. And I can comprehend a few hundred years. I can even comprehend even a couple of thousand. I can understand it a little bit. I can read about it and I can understand it. But when you begin to talk in terms of eternity, which has no beginning and has no end, my mind can't fathom that. But when you put a time mark on something as maybe 5 or 6, 7, 8, 10,000 years, that has an end to it. But when you talk about eternity, meaning forever, my mind can't fathom that. I have a hard time understanding it. And so tonight, I want you to know that this life that we live in, this one life that you have, and I was just explaining to Braxton the other day, we were talking about, son, you need to take care of your body. I said, you're only ever going to get one set of eyes, one set of hands, feet, so on and so on. I said, you need to take care of those things. Because this body one day after a while is going to give out. It's just here for a little while. And then eternity. So here in the 10th chapter of John, Jesus here was speaking about the good shepherd. And for time's sake, I'm not necessarily going to read that. I may come back to it. But I want to go here starting in the 22nd verse of this 10th chapter. And it says, and it was at Jerusalem at the feast of dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long doest thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them and told them, you believe not the words that I do in my Father's name? They bear witness of me, but you believe not because you are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, it says, you believe me not because you are not my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. And I want to stop there for just a moment. I want to talk a little bit tonight, and I want to try to bring this down, maybe in just the simplest way that I can. I don't believe that the gospel was intended to be complicated. I believe that it was meant to be understandable so that anybody could understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And so here Jesus is talking to them and telling them about Him being the shepherd and the good shepherd. He says that He is the door. And Jesus said that no man can come in unless they come through the door. And so Jesus declares that unto them. And I want to say that. I'll say that there in the ninth verse. He says, I am the door. And if by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and shall find pasture. And it says, the thief come not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, we know tonight that tonight, I don't know your heart. I don't know where you stand with God. I don't know if you're lost. I don't know if you're thinking about things in your heart. I don't know where your heart is. That comes down between you and God. But I want you to know tonight that if you are here and lost, and my friend, if there's a fear that's upon your heart, I want you to know that God knows that. Yeah. And my friend, I believe you know that. And it comes down between you and the Lord. And my friend, I want you to know tonight that you're never going to be any more lost than you are right now. My friend, I want you to know that if you're lost and separated from God and you're never saved, I want you to know that if you die in that condition, that you'll spend an eternity in hell. My friend, you'll perish forever. But I want you to know tonight that if you come to the Lord, as Brother Skinner says, if you'll not run from Him, but if you'll run to God, my friend, and run to Him. Don't try to run away from Him, but run to God. And my friend, you come to Him with your whole heart, and you surrender. My friend, fall before Him. I can't tell you what to pray and what to say, but you fall before Him, and you surrender before God. I believe in all of my heart He'll save you. And my friend, when He saves you, He'll give you an eternal home. And as that's what He's speaking about here when He's talking. And it says He said, and I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, my friend, I want you to know tonight in church and lost people, somebody here, maybe you're not even lost, I don't know. But I want you to know eternal life ought to mean something to us tonight. Eternal life. I think about this life that God has given me, and I'm just like that sister over there that was talking earlier. My friend, God has given me a good life. He really has. He's blessed me. He's given me a lot of things. But I want you to know that this body that He's given me, my friend, it's already started to wear out. There's things that hurt me. There's things that give me pain. There's things that there's things that the doctors find from time to time, and I'm still trying to work on. But my friend, this body is wearing out. It's not meant to endure forever. And my friend, there's coming a time down the road, and I don't know when that'll be, that this body is going to give out. It's not meant to endure forever. But I want you to know this soul that lives in here, the one that God has saved, it'll live forever. It'll never die. I want you to know tonight that there was a time that I was dead in my sins and trespasses, that I was dead. But my friend, when the Lord saved me, my friend, that I was born from above, as Brother Buddy said this morning. And when I was born from above, He placed His Spirit in my heart. And my friend, I become alive. I was a new creature in Christ. So here it is. This body is not meant to endure. There's a lot of things in this life. People go out and they want to try to achieve a whole lot of things in this life. They want to try to purchase all kinds of things. They They're looking to gain the whole world. And Jesus said, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, my friend, you've not gained anything. So listen, you can go out here and try to gain the whole world, but if you've never been saved, you've not had anything. I want to take some more reading over here out of Ephesians, and I'll try to get to my point just here in a minute. First chapter of Ephesians. Paul, here writing to the church at Ephesus. This 11th verse says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom also, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory." Now you may not realize it tonight, but that two verses says a whole lot. And I want to try to unpack just a little bit of that. I want you to know tonight that there's a lot of people that say, well, you Baptists believe that once always saved, once saved, always saved. Amen. That's what I believe tonight. I don't believe that when the Lord saves you, that you've got permission just to go out in the world and live any way you want to. But I believe when the Lord saves you, he puts a want to in your heart. And my friend, God has changed my want to, you see. I've got a want to do better. I've got a want to serve God tonight. And when he saves you, he changes that, you see. And it doesn't give you permission to go out and live any way you want to. You ask me how I know. I've seen people, and how do we know? Well, we take by a profession of what they tell us. But I'll say this tonight, if you've been saved by the grace of God, I believe you're going to bear fruit somewhere in your life. I believe that. I believe that you're going to bear fruit, that you're a child of God. I believe you're going to bear fruit, that you're one of his children. And my friend, we ought to want to bear fruit. And sometimes we need to be pruned back. But I'll say this. If the tree doesn't bear good fruit, it's hewn down and it's cast into the fire. Yeah. So my friend, if you're a child of God, you're going to bear fruit somewhere in this life. We ought to want to bear fruit, you know it? We ought to want to bear the fruit that God is. Listen to me, that tree of life that ought to be buttoned up inside of our heart, that seed that he's planted down in our heart, it ought to be buttoned up, just fruit, God's fruit. And listen to me tonight. That ought to be a desire that we have. But Paul here, writing unto Ephesus, he said this. He said, "You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now, my friend, this tonight, I told you a little bit. I think sometimes we don't talk about it enough. But the Holy Spirit of God, he has his work. And my friend, we know that he is a comforter. My friend, but we know that Jesus said that he would guide us into all truths. But he also rebukes. And my friend, he allows us to know, he convicts our hearts. Listen, that Spirit of God, the one that I understood that I was lost and separated from God. The Spirit of God spoke to me. And he let me know that I was a sinner. He let me know that I was lost. He let me know that I was headed towards the devil's hell. That preacher was preaching. And my friend, I don't recall a lot of what he said, but I know my heart was pounding. And I know something in here was different because the Spirit of God had broken my heart, you see. And my friend, that's the way that it works. My granddaddy used to have a saying years ago, and I wasn't going to say this, but I will anyway. My granddaddy used to work on tractors all of his life. That's what he was. He was a farmer, and he was a tractor mechanic. That's what he done his whole life. And he used to work on stuff, and I told y'all a couple weeks ago I wanted to be just like my granddaddy.
I remember one time he was out there at the barn and he was working on a tractor. And I had an old lawnmower there beside of him, and I was working on that lawnmower with him. And I wanted to be just like him. I had his tools drug out, and I was working on them. And he looked over at me. He called me Buddy. He said, Buddy, he said, if it ain't broke, you can't fix it. And my friend tonight, that's how it is with God. If your heart is not broke, it cannot be fixed. But my friend, if your heart is broke, my friend, if you have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the only person that can fix it is God. Amen. You see? He's the only one that can. How does that broken heart come about? Well, that's what the writer says there in Psalms. He says, the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart and saveth such of a contrite spirit. How does he do it? I don't know what age you'll be when you reach the age of accountability. I was 9 years old. I've heard of some people being 10, 11, 12 in their 20s. I don't know how old you'll be. That's between you and the Lord, but it's when the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and He lets you know that you're lost and separated from Him. See, nobody had to tell me. Nobody had to tell me that I was lost. The Spirit of God let me know that I was lost. You know what happened? I believe in trouble. Because there was trouble that set up in my heart as a 9-year-old little boy. There was trouble.
Amen.
Oh, I believe in trouble. I got in trouble. I wasn't in trouble with Mom and Daddy, but I was in trouble with God. He let me know with my heart. He let me know that I was lost. He let me know without Him that I was going to die. I wasn't worried about grandparents anymore. I wasn't worried about church at Rocky Mountain. I was worried that I was going to die and spend eternity burning in hell. He said, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. My friend tonight, you asked me what that song we sing, sometimes I'm standing on the promises of God. My friend, I'm standing on the promises of God tonight. When Jesus Christ said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. My friend, I'm sealed tonight. And that ought to mean something to God's people. I'm sealed with an eternal promise in my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Sealed. He said, the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he said. He said, you are sealed with the Spirit of promise. You know what it is to be sealed? Well, just to put it plainly to you this way, and this is the way the context of it speaks of in the Greek. In the Old Testament, you'll find that kings used to wear signet rings. And on that signet ring, they had a seal. And they would place that signet in the wax, and then they would stamp maybe a piece of parchment or whatever it was. And when that was sealed, it was a decree that was made. It could not be broken. It could not be reversed. We find about that and we read about that through some of Daniel's writings. But also I want to bring your attention to over here, and bear with me. I want to bring your attention to a couple of verses of Scripture in the 8th chapter of Esther. Seventh verse. Then the king, Ahasuerus, said unto Esther, the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and to him they have hanged him in the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Well, he's saying this king here, and a lot of us are familiar with Esther, with the story here, but he's saying that once it's been sealed, Once the seal has been placed, it cannot be broken. It cannot be reversed. There's nothing that can be done. It's sealed, you see. Back a few years ago, I was telling you that a lot of times I thought of it like this. My grandmother used to can all the time. I grew up. Anybody still can? By chance? A couple. My grandmother would have that pressure cooker going in the kitchen. And she'd place them cans in there. And she'd take them cans out and she'd set them up on the counter, you see. Me and Granddaddy would be sitting in there on the couch. And you know what it started happening? You'd hear pop, 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 pop. You know what that means? Y'all know what it means. It means it's going to keep. No. It means it's sealed. And when it's sealed, it cannot be broken. Well, it can be. But the Lord God, but you're the one that does it. But you get the point that I'm making. What's inside has been preserved, hasn't it? It's kept. It's been preserved. So listen to what Paul is saying. He's saying you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. His Spirit has sealed it. Now, listen to what else he says. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. I had a hard time with that. I'd never really looked at it that much, to be honest with you. Do you know what that word earnest means? It means a down payment. A down payment. So then I thought about, well, I know a little bit about earnest money. Talking in real estate terms, what is earnest money? Well, earnest money is something that you put down a payment for something that you intend to purchase on a future note. Future, right? Well, that's what Paul is saying here. He says, for which the earnest, or the guarantee, if you will, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So he's saying he has put a down payment purchase on you. So when he's saved you, he's given you an eternal home, he's put a down payment on you, he's purchased you, he's bought you, he's put a guarantee on you. Yeah. And my friend, that ought to mean something to us tonight. When Jesus has applied his blood to your heart, you think about guarantees nowadays. Anybody trust any kind of guarantee they get anymore? Well, if this breaks, we're going to fix it. Most guarantees ain't good. They ain't worth the paper they wrote on anymore. Well, let me tell you something. God cannot lie.
That's right. That's
right. He can't lie. I want to write this. The seal means the proof that it's real, that it's certified, that it can be trusted. It also places within that security. I used to drive a tractor trailer, and when you seal something, it also keeps things from getting inside. You ever seen on the back of a tractor trailer door, they put little seals on there. You know what them little seals do? That says that this product inside of it hasn't been tampered with. It's sealed. You see, it's not been tampered with. What God has placed in your heart, it's sealed. Satan can't have it anymore. It's not his. I'm not on the market. I can't be bought.
Amen.
Satan can't have it. He can't touch it. He wants to get me down. He wants to drag me through the mud. But bless your heart, what God has sealed, he can't have. I'm telling you right now, folks, there's a victory in serving Jesus Christ.
down payment on it. He said he's mine. And when he draws his last breath, I'm purchasing him fully. And my friend, when he comes up out of the grave and he'll have a body likened unto my son, he'll be perfect. He'll be holy. He'll be just exactly the way I want him to be. Folks, I'm telling you, one day after a while, Casey Cole ain't going to sin no more. But you ask me tonight, what is it that we're dealing with? We're dealing with eternal matters. Let me ask you this. How much can you put on the price of a soul? Something that Jesus Christ gave his life for. Well, listen to what he says. Paul says here. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and says ye are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He said they're not yours. It's not your body. He said it's the temple of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God dwells. He said you were purchased and bought with a price. My friend and I, it means something to me. You can't put a price on the soul of a little person. You can't put a price on the soul of an adult. And I'm thankful tonight that though it seems like there's nothing that's made to last forever in this world anymore, it'll break down. This body's going to break down, Brother Ronnie. I may have 5 more vehicles before its life comes to an end. But this right here is going to last forever. This right here is going to live on forever. I had somebody ask me the other day, they said, what happens when you die? Well, I believe to be absent from the body is to be present.
Amen.
And I believe when I live up out of this old world, I'm going home to be with the Lord. You know what's amazing about that? He said this. I'm all over the place. Y'all just have to bear with me. He said, is the earnestness of our inheritance. You know what that means? It's a down payment of what we're going to get. All right. So when the Spirit of God moves in your life and you get a little taste of heaven, that's just a little taste of what's to come, okay? I know I'm all over the place, but I'm telling you, there's been a few times in my life I've got just a little taste of heaven. And I get to thinking about what Queen of Sheba said over there. She said, only the half has been told. She said, I'd heard about your kingdom. She said, I heard about all the things that you had. And she said, till I sing it, I can't believe it. She said, I only heard the half of what was here. And folks, I could preach to you from daylight to dark, and you'll only hear the half of what God has for his people. Amen. My friend, I'm thankful that I get a little taste of heaven down here on this side. But my friend, one day after a while, I'll get to see it all. I'll get to see it all. So I told you before, does anything really last forever? Yeah, it does. The soul does.
Amen.
And if you've got eternal life from Jesus Christ, if he saved your soul, no man can pluck you out of his hand. Not even Satan can break that seal. He wants to. Boy, he's got a lot of people confused through the years. He sure has. He's good at what he does. He wants to confuse them and keep them in a place to where they don't know how to trust God. But I'm thankful tonight God can let you know where you stand with him if you want to.
Amen.
But Satan can't break that seal. But I'll say this tonight. Just because I'm going on to live with the Lord forever in heaven, don't mean that those people that perish without God, they're going to live forever too.
gonna burn for you. You ask me what keeps me up at night, sometimes when I can't sleep in my bed. I think about your granddaughters. I think about your grandson. I think about your granddaughter. I think about my boys and your boys. It's a real place. And oh, what a shame. What a shame. See, I want to tell you this tonight. I believe in all my heart. Oh, there's shame in sin. There is. But there's no shame in seeking God.
No.
The shame would be in not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
The shame would be that when Jesus is saying, come to me, and I'll give you life more abundantly. You think you've got life now? You've not even begin to experience it. You think you know what heaven is? Well, you don't even know the half of what I'm doing. And I don't even know the half. We talk about heaven all the time, and I don't intend to. Well, I'll just be honest with you.
You need to be scared of hell.
Yeah.
Hell's a real place.
Yeah.
Hell is a real place. And I wouldn't scare you carnally for nothing in this world. But I want you to know that just as real as heaven is, hell's real too. And I can't imagine people dying and drawing their last breath, having never been saved, and open their eyes up in a torment. Where there's wailing, there's weeping, there's gnashing of teeth. There's people that's crying out. There's a flame that you can't even begin to imagine. And they're fall in darkness. I know little kids all the time, they say, I'm scared of the dark. They're scared of the dark. God is no respecter of person. He's no respecter of age. You say, how could a God do that? God is just. It doesn't matter tonight if you're a preacher's child, a deacon's child. It doesn't matter who you are tonight. If you've never been saved, my friend, if you die, if you perish without God, you'll burn forever. Let me find it. Where am I at? Listen to what Paul said here in this 8th chapter of Romans. He says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or prevail or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate us? Nothing. My friend, when God has put that down payment on you, he sealed you until the day of redemption, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. And folks, so you ask me tonight how important eternity is, it's more important than anything that we can ever imagine. Eternity. It's important. Does anything last forever? I'm thankful that what God has sealed, it will.
Amen.
The soul will. Tonight, won't you seek God if you're here and lost? Won't you come to him and seek him? That you might find him precious to your soul. Go ahead, Brother Mike.